Hello and welcome to the super colorful original telecommunicated transmission, otherwise known as ScottCast. We are here today underground for the first time in what seems to be like a long time, or this seems to be the place where we were always meant to be. I'm joined, of course, with fan favorite Ian Dixon.
Hello.
Oh, okay. There you are. Yeah, man. So how does it feel being underground? Do you like this better? Is it more comfortable to be underground?
It is. It's nice and cozy and feels safe from the world, you know?
Yeah. Like, we could say anything. We could finally air our most vile thoughts. And it'll be fairly safe because I took us off the Apple store while I took the feed off, and I contacted Mr. Spotify himself, and I asked him, please, could you delete the podcast that I own from Spotify, from the cache?
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Spotify emailed me back, kind sir, with good regards, of course, I see that you have marked your show as closed, we will delete the show. And so that's great. So Spotify doesn't have us. You can't access us from a Apple podcast, I don't believe, anymore, because I don't think they have a cache. And generally, the website is gone, but we are trucking on. You know why?
No, why?
Because ScottCast will never die. I said that before, didn't I? The public-facing aspect, the app store, those are all platforms that are not us.
Yeah.
You know, we gave them our presence.
That's true.
That was us performing a public service for the past 10 years. You know, and what thanks did we get?
None.
Well, a mild amount.
Maybe.
You know. Nothing crazy. Like, they didn't send us a check.
No, they sure didn't.
No. Definitely not. And if they did, I would have definitely shared it with you. You know, I'm rolling in that Apple podcasting money, turns out. Yeah. But no. So we've gone completely silent. Ostensibly, it was because you were looking for a job after some reorganization in your old place. But on the eve of the destruction of everything, where the smoke is smolding around me of what once was a grand ScottCast above ground empire, you come in and you tell me everything's actually fine.
Yeah. Things are looking all right.
Yeah, things are looking up, you know. You got plenty of options going forward, and I'm all right with it. I'm all right with it. I'm all right with the smoldering remains of what was once a grand public empire, ScottCast, you know?
Yeah.
Because this is what it's always meant to be. It's like since episode 24, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the very least.
Yeah.
When you first gave us this dream of becoming a subterranean species together.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why it took me so long to get to this point. So here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. You know, and I promised you I'm making you wear headphones because I only have the one pair that works right now. So I'm going to go ahead and do this segment first, is just showing you two new sound effects I put on this board.
Exciting.
Right? I pared down the board heavily. Like, it's an era of optimization and privatization in my life, I think. But I resurrected one sound effect and I, created another one or clipped another one at least.
Okay.
So what one do you think I resurrected? It hasn't been around for a while, but it was kind of legendary. Tied into some projects we're planning. Usually we play it when we start talking about a certain aspect of David's anatomy.
The taint one?
Isn't it a golden sound effect, though? You know, it was an inspired day when that sound effect, when I was like, well, we could just do Tainted Love and just take off id love. And yeah, that is. So, because like we're going to be doing zombies,
mm-hmm.
I think with this, from this underground perspective, I think the way we should be is we create this underground podcast, and this is our idea generator. This mm-hmm. is our, this is the true art, is the beating heart of our artistic partnership. And then we send out as like drone bees, right?
Mm-hmm.
These other artistic projects, like okay. zombies itself.
Yeah.
You know, and its various properties, you know, which means just because I'm saying ScottCast is not for general public consumption anymore, doesn't mean I don't want to create things for general public consumption. The main goal I have in life still to this day after years is making David's Taint available for general public consumption. You know, so we're going to be continuing doing that. And if you should so be privileged to be listening to this feed, you know, you're going to get this underground look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Big into it. And so the new sound effect has nothing to do with any endeavor we've done, but we did watch a movie recently together.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one particular sound that I think triggers in me personally a physical reaction. And I'm actually glad that I don't have headphones on right now. It's from a movie that we watched together recently. What do you think it is?
I mean, I could tell you the movie. I don't know what the sound would be.
What movie?
Death Becomes Her?
Nope.
No?
Not that one.
What else have we watched lately?
A more popular movie. One of our more popular movies we've watched together recently. It was on VHS.
Trying to think of what else we watched. Begonia together. That wasn't VHS.
That's true. We've watched a lot of movies recently, I suppose. Now I say it out loud like this. And I know you see a lot of movies, but we watched Austin Powers recently.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you think the sound effect is?
Scott!
Scott! I am glad that I don't actually hear it, because that does like remind me of my childhood and mm-hmm. being in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just hearing that fucking...
Scott!
I heard it a little bit in your headphones. From across the table, it kind of freaked me out, man. But yeah, that's those are the sound effects. If you want to be more comfortable, you may. You know, I might throw in the sound effects anyways just for the cut, but I think we're all right now. We could be an equal stand. So here we are on this new day.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't have much else planned.
Planned
besides
a whopping cast.
I planned like a huge intro to this one. Like a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, but like, you know, there's not like a lot of like space news or anything.
Yeah.
Space! Yeah. They're building a lunar base on the moon, but, you know, it's just... They're just walking down from saying that they're going to be building a goddamn civilization on Mars.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be a base on the moon. And then in 2 years, it's going to be like you can rent an Airbnb in a Learjet. Yeah. So. Let's do an old-fashioned beer review.
Sure.
How's that sound? You brought... here, and I was like, I need to have it. I offered you 7 beers in exchange for one of these. An Old Nation Brewing Company Detroit Dwarf, the legendary Nain Rouge Alt Beer. Alt beer. Alt style beer, 5.8% alcohol by volume, 30 IBUs, one pint, Michigan made and locally owned. You know?
Yeah.
You've been enjoying it recently. How do you put it? What is an alt beer?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay, it's okay. It's like the thing that comes to my mind is like alternative. Like it's like, yeah, like the Chris Cornell of beers.
It's recognized for its simplicity, full-bodied flavor, and impeccable balance. Maybe it's alt because it's not like any of the traditional styles. It's like just kind of a...
That's fair. The big get of this, of course, is the fact that it uses the name Rouge liberally for branding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Detroit Dwarf. You'd think it would be a red beer.
It's got some color to it, definitely. I don't know if it would be red if we actually poured it. I would hope so.
I'll sacrifice some. Let's get a look. All right, we're going to discover it. I wouldn't call it a red. Maybe a little.
It's like an amber.
Yeah, at best amber. Okay, so these people at Old Nation Brewing Company really needed to make an amber beer. And they really needed to make a beer that was playing off the name Rouge. They mm-hmm. were like, there's a branding opportunity here, and we also have these ingredients. And they made what they had, and they called it Nain Rouge beer. But it's brilliant. The Nain Rouge, what's the legend of that again? That, Christopher Columbus? No, Cadillac.
Yeah, one of those French guys.
Yeah.
Back in the day, saw the dwarf and then something terrible happened. I don't remember what happened, but like something burned down or some catastrophe in the city. And he allegedly shows up before every catastrophe, you know, the riots back in '60, whatever. Someone sees that dwarf.
Yeah, I saw the dwarf right before my relationship with Julia. I thought I was going away from it, but no. You know, that's one of those things. Monkey's paw situations.
Yeah.
And I can say those kind of things now because we're not on Spotify. I don't have to worry about fucking messages anyway.
So every spring they have a little parade where they chase the dwarf out, and that was
recently, right?
Yeah.
I need to get in on that parade on the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the March de Nain Rouge or whatever.
Yep.
Okay. You know, you think I would understand that it's in March because that's the name of the fucking holiday. It's like, when is Cinco de Mayo? I don't know. I think it's before 4th of July, but I don't know when that is either.
Yeah.
So March de Nain Rouge. Have you ever been to that?
I have never been to the actual parade, no.
Yeah, the only time, like, I've seen people, like, Emily Wood would dress, like, she would, like, do red face body paint and face paint.
Yeah.
Go completely satanic, you know? The other Emily would dress as a witch and go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think either of them mess with it that much these days. It's like, there's only so much satanic parading you can do.
That's true.
You know, like you do one satanic parade. I mean, you're doing it for the experience. You do your second satanic parade. Okay, you liked the experience. If you're doing it 7, 8, 9, 10 years in a row, I mean, maybe you should shake up your spring plans. Yeah. But it's good. It's a tasty beer. Let's see. Yeah, it tastes like I should compliment it, and I should be nice to it. And if I don't, terrible things will happen to me. So I will give Detroit Dwarf by Old Nation 11 out of 10.
11, wow. Okay.
11 out of 10 is the world's greatest drink. It's never been better.
Yeah.
Drinking.
Nice.
Consuming, even. Like, it's right up there with air as far as my favorite things to put in my mouth. And I put air in my mouth all the time. I just did it now.
Yeah.
Detroit Dwarf. And we've got some Squatch and some Cerveza Del Rey for you, Ian, anytime you want.
All right.
I think you've given, I don't know if you've done the Squatch.
I don't know if I've given a review, no.
Yeah. And I'm very curious about it. I was at the Meijer, and I was looking between the Cerveza Del Rey and the Squatch beer. Both are brewed Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Cerveza Del Rey is Mexican-style lager, and I think the Squatch beer is American-style lager.
It's a blonde.
It's a blonde.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's adjacent, right?
Yeah, it's a light, easy-drinking thing.
Within the spectrum.
Yeah.
I view everything as a spectrum now.
That's a good way to see things.
Right? You were once telling me about black and white thinking,
I think. Mm-hmm.
And then I refused to follow that advice because it was objectively bad. And I have since learned. Subtlety? I don't know if I've learned subtlety.
Mm.
But we'll see. Point is, I was at the Meijer and I was debating between these two beers and I had no idea. I was like, if I get the wrong one, like if I get Cerveza Del Rey, then it's just like I'm boring because I was just going to get what I thought was tasty at the time.
Nothing wrong with that.
Are you sure? Because the other option is the Squatch beer.
Mm-hmm.
And the Squatch beer, A, it references your D&D character.
Yeah.
Which I have to, I'm obliged to mention our D&D campaign every episode we do, or else David will stop listening. And he's like the whole audience right now.
Yeah.
So, like, I had to get the Squatch beer, right? Mm-hmm. And the Squatch beer does happen to have a label where the Sasquatch is doing the standard walk, but it's got, like, a huge ass.
It's cheeked up.
It's real cheeked up. Yeah. And I thought, I mean, that's an obvious thing to mention on the podcast. We got to get that on MP3.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, it's like, do you want to take a gamble on an American blonde ale? I mean,
a gamble? Like, what do you mean?
Because I never had it before.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah. Okay. I feel all right now. This is why we got to do this underground, because now that we're underground, it's like we're going to be just doing Scottcast forever.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not. I don't know. Nothing bad happened, by the way. No one said anything about Scottcast in any way or made accusations against the Scottcast crew.
Yeah.
Particularly. Or against me. I feel like I'm defending myself.
It's because you were reintroduced to that clip.
Oh, right. Exactly.
You're feeling self-conscious all of a sudden.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in trouble. Really cuts through, doesn't it? You know? But no. I'm behaving, largely, mostly. Like 99%. I could hook up cameras all over this apartment.
Mm-hmm.
It won't take much to get the coverage. Yeah. And broadcast my life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel no guilt, not even body shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know I'm a weird, pudgy little skeleton. You know, all hairy. Hairy and bald. I'm a weird, hairy, bald animal. You know? I've, like, noticed that about me as, like, an organism.
Mm.
That I'm a...
Hairy and bald.
Yeah, because, like, compared to actual animals,
yeah.
Well, not even actual, but just because, you know, we're all animals.
Right.
But compared to most animals with fur,
mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot.
Yeah.
Compared to all my fellow human beings, I have a lot. So I'm hairy and bald. All right, come on. You want to be one or the other.
Oh, it's a spectrum.
Oh, another lesson. I don't know, man. Like, there's this guy on Gotham, the Batman series.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Victor Zsasz, and Victor Zsasz's big thing is he's completely bald, and every time he kills a man, he does a tally mark on his body.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, the actor who plays him is some guy who has some kind of condition where he doesn't have hair follicles or something. So he's like just naturally perfectly, porcelain. it really works for the character.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if I should genetically modify myself to be him.
Probably not.
Like, not completely, but
I mean, it has a purpose, right? It's like to...
Hair?
Yeah. I mean, your eyebrows keep shit out of your eyes and on your head. I guess it keeps you warm.
Yeah. Why are you wearing a hat then? You just seem like you have this a knee-jerk reaction to cyber augmentation.
Kind of, yeah.
Wow, how unopen-minded of you. I've been thinking, like, maybe I should cyber augment myself.
Mm.
Like, but if I do that, it's a weird dilemma that I'm facing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I would not want to cyber augment myself with like an Elon Musk Neuralink or something.
Right. Yeah.
Because I don't want to fucking plug into his fucking server.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't even want to do that just on a normal computer, let alone my brain.
Yeah.
But if I made myself like a janky ass vibe coded AI Neuralink device and I like just jammed it into my brain. If it worked, I'd be psyched. If it didn't, I'd be brain dead. But hey,
yeah.
Some people, you could argue that I'm already close to there, just as my normal functioning. If I had that webcam show up, I'm sure we would know. But I use bone conducting headphones now for while I'm out and about. And I feel like that's a good middle ground to starting to cyber augment yourself. So it's just like
bone conducting.
Yeah. Do you know what those are? Have you seen them around?
I have not.
They're headphones that sit on like a bony part of your skull, not in your ears. Yeah, they're close, but they're not in your ears. They sit on a bony part of your skull, like these cheekbones here, and these really, you can feel them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're tuned. They're basically flat speakers you put right against your skull.
Yeah.
And they're tuned to use your skull as the actual speaker.
Mm-hmm.
It drives you, it makes your skull into a speaker, and you hear it inside your brain.
Interesting.
It's the big use of it is like you're not putting things inside your ear canal, and like if you're out and about, you're taking a walk or something, you're having a run, I don't know, you can hear street noises and people around you clearly,
yeah,
while you're listening to music and stuff. And it feels like you just have like this weird loud ass speaker just hanging on your fucking face. But like the test is, you plug your ears while you have them blasting, and like it feels like you're in a Bose studio all of a sudden.
Mm.
Like you plug your ears and then like the music is like super crisp and clear and like has the whole range and everything.
Interesting.
Because it's using your skull. And like when you don't have your ears closed, it's all escaping. But So that's like a cyber augmentation because I'm using my body.
I guess so.
As a part in this system. But, you know, I'm not like grafting anything. I want to graft things to me. Like, that seems like a limitation that I'm tired of. This is how, like, those Ripley's Believe It or Not skits start.
Yeah.
Where this guy's like, I'm going to fucking tattoo every inch of my body and, like, put whiskers in my cheeks. Have you ever seen that?
I have.
That guy's great. How's he doing nowadays, you think?
I hope well.
Because, like, I can't, like, that's the thing, is you got to imagine those people settling down at some point.
Right.
Like, calming down a bit. Like, at a certain point, he maxed out his tattoo and his normal physical augmentations and stuff like that, and he just wanted to have tea. Like, is that how it is?
Maybe.
Those are the human interest stories that no one ever covers, but I want to hear. I want to know when, like, people are doing, like, all right after, like, crazy fucking shit.
Yeah.
Like, normally you just hear about the crash and burns.
Right.
Or the mega successes. You never hear about people who just end up doing, some crazy thing happened and then everything was normal. But I think that happens more often.
Yeah.
You know, some crazy shit happens and then everything just keeps going on like normal. That's the normal state of the world. That's what you should expect and plan for. And then, therefore, be okay giving yourself cyber augmentations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how zombies should end.
Ooh.
David fucks the queen bee, shows his taint, and then, like, he's just a normal-ass guy. Goes back to work the next day, and nothing happened.
You know? That would elevate it from, like, just, like, a schlock... Like, see if you can get a couple nerds to giggle film to high art, you know, because we're making a real comment, you know, and like you have to think about it a little bit because like I think it's got to be like one of those false endings. Like, remember first time you watched Return of the King? And like the
felt like it was done for like half an hour.
Exactly. Yeah, the mountain explodes and you're like, oh, it's done. Okay, I won't go take a piss yet. Okay. They gotta quit Frodo in the bed. Okay, yeah, no. Okay. Oh, they gotta go back to the Shire. Oh wait, they gotta yeah. So yeah. I wanna do that, but instead of like all these like epic moments, it's just like David's going, like, he's waiting in line at Burger King, you know? He goes to get his prescription filled somewhere. He steps in dog shit, but doesn't realize it until he gets into his house. And then, like, he gets a little mop out and he cleans it up a little bit, you know?
Be a good way to pad the runtime. That way we don't have to come up with as much plot.
Yeah, we just reduced like the special effects budget by 33%. You know, like every time I go for a drive and I'm like listening to some like a particular type of music where it has like Rachel Rami or Six Sex and like Slater and stuff like that. Like, I always imagine them as like some of like the villainous bees for some reason. I convinced myself that like that's like how it should be casted. We'll talk, but every time I do, but that would be very expensive unless we make an artistic statement where for the last third of the film it's just David milling about. Because, like, the entire thing is just condensed to basically an episode of Mad Men. Like, can we produce something to the level of a episode of The Walking Dead independently? That's basically what we're asking for, right? With the special effects and stuff. That was all practical effects. I'm pretty sure.
Some of it.
Yeah.
A good chunk of it.
Solid chunk of it for The Walking Dead. How long did you take before you abandoned it?
I couldn't tell you which season it was, but
I couldn't do the numbers either.
what's his name showed up with his bat.
Okay, you made it farther than I did. And like, mine was before there's this that the guy with the eye patch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like basically as soon as right away, like. It wasn't even for a reason. It was just like I realized that like I would never know why things are zombies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, it's not that kind of show,
right?
Oh, I guess I don't want to know then. The complaints I hear is like it's just a soap opera where like there's like zombie props, towards the end or something like that.
More or less, yeah.
Master Charles is playing a video game that stars Norman Reedus.
Mm. Is that the one where he's carrying shit?
I think so, yeah. Like that's a that's a bizarre way to describe anything. But yeah. Now that I think about the gameplay, it's like, yeah, that's exactly what he's doing every time I log in. It's like oh, there's Charles. He's picking up these bodies and he's bringing them somewhere. Really? That's what it's about.
The Death Stranding?
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, but like, it's got a lot of fucking goofy fucking moments. And there was this one moment that made me feel like, because you hear those statistics where like video games as an industry make more money than every other entertainment industry combined.
Mm.
Sports, movies, music, just pick anything. Anything entertainment, video games dwarfs it just by itself.
Yeah.
So there was this cutscene. It's Norman Reedus. He's the celebrity main character. And this other guy, I don't know if he was played by anybody, but it was like this epic fight where like the villain had a guitar that was also literally an axe. And then this big satanic creature came up and he was like, I'm gonna fuck your shit up. And like, it was like this huge fight. And it was like this brilliantly choreographed thing. And like, I was in the middle of watching it and I just realized to myself, this is far more entertaining than any of those movies I just recently watched were, you know, cause it's purely dumb.
Mm-hmm.
There's zero need for explanation really, besides whatever was set up to get somebody playing with Norman Reedus,
right,
walking around in a mech suit, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is why video games just do it, because they're just like, it's unabashed, everything is, it's just pure id.
Mm-hmm.
The entire industry. When was the last video game you played?
Oh boy. The last one I played, like, actually sat down and played was NHL 96 for Sega Genesis.
Sweet.
Found it at the thrift store for like $2, and
you're like, ah, it doesn't even work.
It does.
Nice. Okay. How'd you do? Did you do all right? I think that is 96. No, you're playing something too modern.
Yeah.
But there is a in Mallrats.
95 is the one in Mallrats.
Okay, you know what I was going for? All right.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I did all right. I mean, it's
Dale the Whale. No, that's not something the whale. Anyways, Edmonton only beats the other team once every fucking 30 years.
Mm.
That's what the Scientologist line was. I don't know if Jason Lee is still a Scientologist. I think the entire industry is kind of quiet. The Scientology industry kind of got quiet at some
point. Yeah.
They're like, we have a excellent opportunity not to be the craziest people on this public stage right now. Let's just be quiet for the next 12 years.
Yeah, so that was the last one I played, like, actually like sat down and focused on it. Bronwyn ordered a Sega game that just came today off of eBay. I don't remember the title of it. It's like Crystal Pony Adventure or something shit like that.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
So I play tested that briefly today for her while she's out visiting her friend. It was pretty wild.
In what way?
I don't know what the hell was going on, but it was like, it felt like it wasn't for children. It was like kind of dark.
Okay. Okay. I'm into that. Cause like maybe like, cause wait, explain the title again.
It's just like Crystal Pony Adventure. Crystal or some shit Pony like that.
Adventure.
And so you're a pony.
Okay.
And you're running around, but there's like an evil dude swinging around.
Evil dude swinging around.
And it's like, you're supposed to gather crystals in order to rescue the other ponies. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's got a pretty sweet, like, soundtrack thing going on. Like, there's all these, like, classical standards, and you can choose which one you want to listen to.
Okay, so actual classical standards.
Yeah. So like, it's like
a Bach with your crystal ponies.
Yeah, yeah. What's the Hall of the Mountain King, the like kind of spooky one? And
okay, so already we're like stepping like this is kind of like a brilliant thing about like these older development things is like already we're stepping away from any semblance of a target audience because it's like crystal ponies. You think little girls, because this is before bronies.
Yeah.
So you think little girls, and now we're adding intense classical music. Okay. Quite a cross section.
And like just, yeah, it's just kind of weird, dark themes that you wouldn't expect. Like you're on a pastor and then you're in a fucking cave and there's old demon guys coming at you. And
okay. All right.
Music gets all intense and yeah. It's
like, the pony's going through a demon cave. Okay.
It felt like a fever dream. Just kind of the back and forth between the rainbows and sunshine and like the dark themes is pretty, for like the 2 minutes that I played it.
Then that was enough. And you're like, oh, I can't do this. It's too intense for me.
Man. I believe Flight of the Bumblebee is one of the soundtracks you can select.
I mean, you know, you'd just be button mashing the whole time if you put that on. You know, you wouldn't be able to help yourself. Flight of the Bumblebee on the 8-bit Sega Genesis. 16-bit. 16-bit.
So technically that was the last game I played.
That was, but that's a damn good game. You know? And that does sound, I've never heard of it before.
I may have the title wrong. I'll have to.
I mean, also, I've never played Genesis. Yeah. Like, that wasn't my childhood machine, you know?
You have beaten Jurassic Park on the Sega Genesis,
though. Well, I mean, yeah, we put our heads together and we made a concerted effort as adults to accomplish that goal. Because, like, yeah, the only time I did play it was at a dentist office. They had one of those set up as, like, a waiting room thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I would always start it and, like, fuck up. And, yeah. And I would do the fucking Aladdin one and also fuck up. Do you have Aladdin?
No, we don't.
Okay, well, when we get Aladdin...
So your dentist just had, like, the hardest fucking games ever.
I mean, yeah, they don't like people, dentists. No one ever becomes a dentist because they like people.
That's true.
I don't think. It can't be. Because, like, it's the most brutal medical profession, I think, that is treated so casually.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you just walk in, you're like, okay, yeah. Oh, just sit there. Okay. We're going to put a little bib on you. Okay. Now I'm going to drill into your fucking bones. Love dentists.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyways, let's take a quick little break because I got to take a piss.
All right.
You got to get a new beer.
Sure.
I feel it. I can feel the system. And when we get back, we're gonna talk about cigarettes or something? I don't know. We'll figure something out. Okay, so you just looked up the Crystal Ponytail. That's the name of the actual name.
Yeah, I thought it was Adventure, but it is Tail. Crystal's Pony Tail.
Crystal's Pony Adventure is way darker.
But yeah, the cover is like, looks like a, what was that brand of like girly stickers in the 90s that like really bright, vivid colors? Lisa Frank?
Okay. I think I, yeah. Like the sticker books?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the cover looks like.
It does. Yeah. And it's rated GA, general audiences. That is the, like, there's rated E for everyone, and then there's GA.
Mm-hmm.
E for everyone is like the cool kids compared to GA. E for everyone, like, smokes behind the gymnasium.
The plot of the game is that the evil Storm Witch has cast a spell that imprisoned Crystal Pony's friends in her castle in order to rule Ponyland. The player's role is to collect crystals to free the ponies and defeat the witch.
Okay.
So yeah, it's like witchy dark magic stuff. And I guess that's like in line with Disney movies and whatnot, but
that's true.
It's not what I expected from the cover.
That's true. Like, I mean, it could be like, because remember when you ever watch those 80s movies and like it's rated G or something like that, mm-hmm. and then there's straight up titties. Yeah. You know, I think it's like there's just a different attitude,
yeah,
about rating things at a certain point. You know, things got stricter, which I don't know. Like, is it? It's a weird combination of things because it's like internet comes around.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to see all sorts of terrible things.
Yeah.
And censorship gets stricter. People naturally, like when the whole gate is thrown open,
mm-hmm.
people want to be fenced in.
Yes.
With their thoughts and their entertainment, which, I mean, I suppose is exactly what I'm doing with my show, is directly fencing everything in a very deliberate way,
mm-hmm.
you know? And makes me wonder if it's a, like a human fucking drive. Cause it's like, don't you think when the internet comes out and everything is available and open that like people would get more liberal, but no, they've gotten more conservative.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, it's, I guess they're afraid of certain ideas.
Certain
ideas. That's when you put the gates up, as if something,
yeah, something threatens you.
Yeah.
Some kind of feeling like, but like, oh, okay.
Like, oh, people are different than me.
But so like before then, before the internet, like people were able to like buy the crystal pony mm-hmm. tail and like they could accept the fact that it was a pagan conspiracy fucking propaganda device.
I mean, it's like,
because
the story of every other story is, yeah, like good versus evil. And
yeah, and they could accept a little bit more darker themage because it's like there's no off ramp
mm-hmm.
from that. But like nowadays, like let's say you gave a child some fucking satanic pony game, like the first thing they're gonna do is they're gonna go ask a robot about Satan. And he'll tell them. You know? So I guess that would drive mm-hmm. people to be like, you know, fuck it. Strict content control.
Yeah.
I can control this human being I'm bringing up
mm-hmm.
completely. Do you face that a lot with talking to kids? Is like these kids are just like, my parents think they could fucking fence me off, but I know fucking everything.
Yeah.
It's still that to this day. That's what I was like when I was like I know how to clear browser history.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kids are going to get into shit. You got to accept that there's some level of that. There's a, like DBT module that goes through that in the middle path stuff. Looks at like parent-child dynamics and I can't remember the extremes of the seesaw, but there's like overly permissive versus like overly strict. And you would want to know like where the parent sees themselves on there and where the child sees the parent and kind of where the, if they align or if they're kind of not seeing eye to eye and try and find a balance. Cause yeah, like you want to protect your kid from things, but also like you have to expect that they're going to get into some shit sometimes. And like, that's a normal part of being a child. And that's how you learn stuff sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've learned basically 99% of my valuable skills
doing things I shouldn't.
Exactly. You know, spare no expense.
Spared no expense.
I was always able to do it. And then like, of course, but I don't know, man. Like, so yeah, we were talking. Yeah, well, we were talking about the fucking video game industry, and but yeah, content moderation, fucking pilling it out. Like, I was watching some movies recently, and like I did the AMC thing where you get the A-list and you get to see however many movies a month. And I saw Slanted, the A24 movie, you know, and like see, the thing with the A24 movies, I like them. I usually like them all.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so like, you go, it's an A24 movie. You can be like, okay, go get your popcorn, go fucking watch a movie, an hour and a half. You'll at least be like, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But at this point, it's pretty easy to see, like, the moral structure A24 uses.
Mm.
Like, the theme always plays off the moral lesson. Like, A24 is producing fables. Modern day fables.
Yeah.
Everything has a moral lesson, and the entire structure and plot and character development and web comes off of the moral lesson that they're trying to impart. And it feels as if the moral lesson is the first thing that these movies are based on.
Mm.
You know, like obviously it's not like a hard set rule that protecting or something like that.
I should watch some things again with that lens. I wonder what the moral lesson of The Lighthouse is.
It's you should fuck that mermaid.
If you get a chance to fuck a mermaid, do it.
It's true. Like, what would the moral lesson of The Lighthouse be? It's like, it's something about isolation, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That it's not quite a moral fable, but it kind of could be, maybe, but it doesn't always have to be a blatant politico fucking, you know. Like Slanted is pretty easy to see what it is. It's right there. It's they took what's the good one, they took The Substance.
Oh yeah.
And they were like, okay, this plays well. Let's skin it for race. And they did. But The Substance wasn't A24.
No.
Okay. So that's good because it keeps my theory intact. Because the thing that made The Substance unpredictable, I feel like, was like it had that ethos of that fable, but then towards the end, it just goes completely off the fucking rails. It's just a total, not only just body horror, but like peak 80s like fucking vinyl costumery and blood splatter.
Felt like a fucking Trauma movie at the end.
Yeah, it's straight up Trauma, and like you do not expect it. So like they do that, and that's there's no morality in that decision. Besides, like I love trauma shit. that's the lesson there. And that's slanted completely pulls back. Spoiler alert. It like it doesn't go hard into the body horror aspect, which is like you kind of feel like it's a missed opportunity with it because the premise of the fucking movie is that a person hates their identity so much that they are willing to replace every single part of them to change it, to conform. I mean, that's eyes, skin, teeth, skeleton structure. That's so many opportunities to just see a knife go into skin and torture a person. You know? Like grinding away. They did for a second in Slanted show pulling out hair from the root. You know, in a very brutal way. And they called it like a no more roots, right? It's like she was always dyeing her hair blonde and you know, the black hair comes out at the roots. I was like, oh, you not want roots anymore? We'll take care of that. And then, like, they get into the surgery. They rip it out. And I was like, oh, it's going to be great later. That's the peak of it.
Yeah.
That's the peak of it. And, you know, as people who are going to be filmmakers and probably succeed wildly, I feel I can critique A24's choice there or the studio. I feel like the studio told them to pull back when they really wanted to make a successor to The Substance. They wanted to do something crazy, but like they had to pull back and then it just became that thing, which was fine.
Yeah.
It was a fine movie. I liked it. But, you know.
Studios are always telling people not to do crazy stuff.
Right? Like that's the thing I thought A24 was all about was... Originally was like I thought the whole idea was like, oh, we'll just listen to the directors make the decision. But after this pattern I've found, I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's a guy in a suit cackling somewhere with a cat. You know? Controlling strings. The string controller.
That's what happens when you I feel like people who are doing the art should remain in control. The workers should own the means of production.
I'm like, I knew that's like eventually where you'd go. you just bridged it immediately. But that's fine. That's fine. I mean, like
you think of like when things aren't as good as they used to be, it's because some fuck like higher up who has no connection to the actual thing made a choice.
Yeah.
Ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, they're out of touch.
Yeah.
They make the choice because they think they can fucking, they know what's going on, but they don't. You know, like, that's the independent spirit needs to be preserved in creative endeavors. You know, like there's been these artists that I've been like listening to brought to me by the corporation Spotify. And like, I like them. And then like the thing that surprised, like the weird thing that would happen, like there's this person called Suki Waterhouse. She's a big old Nepo baby. Maybe not Nepo baby, but like, you know, born of privilege and raised into privilege. She's a multi-hyphenate professional where she's a high fashion model, actress, and musician. Which one of those are you actually not skilled in? You gotta pick one. There's no way. And I gotta say, musician, I like probably three or four songs from this person brought to me by Spotify the corporation on a shuffle mode basis. But every time I discover I like another one of her songs, I'm like, this chick again? You know, because it's like, I don't recognize her as a separate artist from the other songs.
Mm-hmm.
Or as the same artist from the other songs.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize her as, like, it's just like a different song. So it's like a different team of songwriters or something like that per song.
Gotcha.
You know, a big old factory behind her.
Yeah.
Pumping things out through the name of Suki Waterhouse. That's my vibe that mm-hmm. I catch. I caught that vibe. You know?
Gotcha.
So she's just like this vehicle for this this creative factory.
Mm-hmm.
And the creative factory's greatest accomplishment is the ability to gather a dream team, apparently randomly, to create things that the Spotify algorithm likes.
Mm.
Because the main point being, I don't identify these songs with each other, but they are all the same artist.
Do you think that we could get the rights to do a film adaptation of Crystal's Ponytail?
I get the rights. You don't even need them. No way you need them. Oh, no, I get it, though. Crystal's Ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
The hairstyle.
Right.
I like it.
A little double meaning, yeah.
Okay, so anyways,
but we could make the evil witch some corporate dude or dudette.
Okay.
Who's capturing artists to spit out this like manufactured algorithm based trash, and then for some reason, a pony has to rescue them so that they can make real art.
The one edit I have is we're going to cut out for some reason.
It'll be a brony. Like straight up.
It's just a brony.
No explanation.
He's always in
like, man in pony suit.
He's always in furry. You know? That would get some fucking traction.
Oh, I just want to hear some real music, real art.
It's like this furry, this like he gets into it. Like, so like the story, basically people, there's a furry who's the main character mm-hmm. and no one questions it.
Exactly.
No one questions the furry part.
No.
It's just like this, it's like this big fantasy for furries where they're accepted. Like, like he's the only furry too. Everyone watching, it's like, is that costume supposed to be realistic? Like, like he's like an anamorphic fucking squirrel or something.
Mm-hmm.
Possible. I'd be into it.
Yeah, then he just rescues pop divas and lets them do what they actually want to do instead of what big corporate boss, witch, whatever is telling them to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they like.
And there's a big dance thing at the end.
Oh, okay.
And everybody's a brony.
Then they fuck for 30 minutes because we have to fill out the runtime. We seem to really cap out an hour of storytelling. Okay. So the Scott Cast Underground Studio. I feel the energy coming from it, through it,
yeah.
To it, amongst it, around it, of it.
That's what happens when we pod for ourselves and not for other people.
Exactly.
I mean, we've been doing that for 10 years, I guess.
Yeah, but like I'm less anxious about it now, I guess. It's the whole fucking situation. You've always been of the mind, like, no one's fucking listening to this. But me, I've always been like, hey, what if? You know? And, like, we've had our accolades. And, like, given how other podcasts would go up and most of the time come back down, you know, like I think of the Hawk Tua girl. Like, imagine us as, like, I don't want to be her right now.
Yeah.
For sure. But, you know, there was a time right after her Hawk Tua thing. I think about it this way. Like, she's out and about on town. Some random idiot, like, just like us at Astronomicon comes up. And you know, she is so funny and charming in a single moment that she is able to start, like, a fucking podcast that gets, like, a million subscribers immediately.
Yeah.
That's insane. Insane amount of power. Imagine me at my worst with that power. It would not go well.
Yeah.
We all know. It's all right. But she has since had a bad time. She started, like, a crypto coin that became, like, a big fucking scam, basically, you know, because they all are. But, like, I genuinely believe that she was not the one who benefited from the scam at all. That's all these questions.
I'm sure, yeah, someone proposed it, and she was like, yeah, okay. And
yeah, she's like, oh, that sounds awesome. I should probably do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. So, like, that's what she's associated with now, is that, like, she had that big old platform, and she made a crypto scam, and then now it's, like, all gone. Just immediately, up and down, right up and down. We're a Scottcast. We've always been here. You know?
I guess Warhol was kind of right, huh?
15 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, that feels more correct now in the age of the internet.
Yeah, it's a lot more literal. You know? Like, most people, that's the thing. It's like with the Hawk Tour thing. Everyone has spent 15 minutes contemplating the Hawk Tua. You know, like, overall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, first you're encountering it, and then you hear other people mention it. And, like, that all combined, it's about 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, it's like, I was fascinated by the trajectory of her podcast, basically, at a point. But it was like, it was fueled by I never listened to a single second of her podcast. I always, like, got, like, news from around it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm blind.
I can see the blaring in.
Yeah. There you go. I've got the aloe plant shit. Darkness comes us. All right. So we're back. After blocking out the sun, which admittedly I should have done that. I should put tinfoil on all the windows before we do a Scottcast underground production like this. That's my bad. I didn't theme out the room enough. You know, we're supposed to be pretending like the sun apocalypse is upon us, in a sense.
I mean, that's what it tastes like when you go outside.
Yeah. Taste?
I don't know. Blinds you.
Oh, yeah. But, like, the sun apocalypse is upon us, I will say. My parents in Holdridge, they've been having fucking 9,500 degree days.
Already?
A bunch.
Wow.
And mixed in days like today for us.
Yeah.
For them. So it's like they'll have a 90 degree day.
Up and down.
It's and crazy. It's fucking 40.
Yeah.
And Nebraska's 40% on fire.
Awesome.
That's the thing. I've got a happy hours all scheduled out on my calendar for Detroit. Like, there's also websites that do this, but, like, I've been, like, finding happy hours I like and adding it to a specific calendar on my thing. And there's some fucking good deals, and I feel like we should take advantage. It's too late now for Tekoi, but the Tekoi in Corktown, $12, you get a fried chicken sandwich, spicy chicken sandwich, with a beer out the door.
That's great.
Yeah.
$12.
Yeah. You know,
and everywhere else, $12 for a beer.
Exactly. And the Tokoi place, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good tasty food. Thai inspired stuff that's in Corktown, you know. Because, like, when I'm eating at home, it's like a jar of oats.
Yeah.
So I've been camping out for these happy hour specials with good food prices and stuff like that. See if I can get something good. But I don't know. What else do we have to discuss here on this here episode? I'm sure we got more. We've got things that have happened that occurred to inform our audience, to entertain and regale David while he lifts, bending over. You know, he's doing a deadlift right now, and like he keeps thinking about just exposed to the world. You know? Yeah. How should we limit access to Scottcast from now on? Because that's the thing. Is there's going to be a secret RSS feed. I'm not going to put it on the Apple Podcast Store.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to put it on Spotify Podcasts. And I'm not going to have the YouTube channel.
Okay.
So the only way you can get to it is if you subscribe to our RSS feed in your podcast player of choice, you know. However, whichever one that you have that does that trick, I think Spotify, you can't do that
because
they want to host everything, obviously. And I don't think you can do it with Apple Podcasts. Like, you'd have to have like a separate thing to input a custom RSS app.
Gotcha.
But like, who should we make worthy to listen to this show? What do you think would be required? Like, David gets to listen because he's on a third of the shows.
Yeah. Charles is a loyal listener.
Charles is loyal. Like, he has been sending me messages. Like, he's a slow listener, but we're a slow producer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been sending me messages as he's been getting caught up, you know, making comments. And it's great because, like, sometimes he'll comment on a conversation halfway through listening to the podcast. And it's something that resolved on the podcast. And, like, months ago. And so, like, I get those messages and I'm like, do I tell him to keep listening or do I answer his question and then potentially contradict myself directly because I forgot my original answer? Who knows? But he knows how it feels. So Master Charles gets it for being a loyal listener.
Mm-hmm.
David gets it for being a loyal producer. So that's two. Do they have to? I guess they have to make themselves known to us, right?
I guess. How do they know to make themselves known?
You know, I mean, I tell people sometimes that I have a podcast.
Yeah.
So do you don't do it anymore, but you used to for sure. Tell people that you have a podcast when it would
shared
come up.
It when it comes up. Yeah.
Yeah. So. They have to have a certain amount of interest, and then you also have to give them like up and down vibe check kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, could they fucking hang?
Yeah.
You know, even as a listener, like, we got to get real restrictive. Like there was this one time where, like, my mom was like, oh, I saw you had a new Scottcast. I'm going to try to listen to it later. I was like, don't. No. I know you missed me, Ma. I love you. But that ain't the way. Give me a call. And then my brother-in-law, Joe Roach, listens. That's the big question, I think, for me. It's like, do I get Joe back on to listen? Stuff like that. Because there's a lot of freedom. And knowing that, like, I don't have to worry about my family fucking giving me grief.
Yeah.
You know. But also, he was a loyal listener. I think he got the vibe. He understood the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
He understood the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'll have to think about that one. But that's just it. We got the time. We're living strong. We're being steady. Yeah. Did you know the sanctuary was being sold?
I heard
or
that.
They're moving or
they're
something?
They're moving somewhere into Detroit proper.
That, they're moving into Detroit proper. Dos Locos Tacos, when that happened, when mm-hmm. Sanctuary made that announcement, they're closing down now too.
That's probably most of their...
yeah, that's what they said, actually, yeah. I think. That was part of their announcement, was that like they got a lot of business from the Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Book Sui over there, we've been like, we should give like coupons to Sanctuary and stuff like that. We were bouncing that idea around like the past couple months and like no one did it. And okay, well, I guess now this doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, so how do you feel about that though? That's like the right next door venue that.
Yeah, it's a bummer. I imagine someone else will come along because that used to be Paychex, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it'll hopefully get filled with something similar. It's hard to think that there'll be a bunch of metal shows there, though. Hopefully it's not like, I don't know, some venue that plays a bunch of crap.
Although, like, there's, like, the case to be made that it's a new... Well, no, it's not new. It's a case to be made that it was successful. I mean, they're moving, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like they went out of business because they couldn't do anything. It's just, they probably outgrew it, honestly. It's not a big place.
Yeah, I mean, every time we've gone there, it was pretty, it had a pretty decent crowd in there. So that's the thing. It's like, you get a place like that and you always fill it out. The instinct is to grow it. But like, you know, the reason why it's making money is because you have a place that you're always filling out.
Yeah.
If you decide to grow it, you could put yourself in some britches that are too big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that does tell me though, Sanctuary's got to be, that building's empty now. It's going to be empty. What do you think it's going to be there? Should we buy it? That's what we always, that's what we always end up circling. You know, you've got this influx of cash from your,
oh yeah.
You know,
probably not quite that much. Yeah.
We're going to take all of the offers and we'll use your surplus for the first 3 months while you juggle that to bootstrap our Sanctuary 2 purchase. Yeah. Metal shit. What else would we have? Would we make it a podcast thing? Or because we're so underground, if we had a public podcasting place,
mm-hmm.
Is that against our ethos now? Or is it like, maybe if it's just the live aspect, if you want to, if the general public ever wants to see us, they have to catch us live. Otherwise you need a privileged RSS feed.
Yeah. I don't know. That's it's pretty deep into the hypothetical.
It really is. This all relies on A, you purchasing the Sanctuary during an already transitory moment in your life. Well, you know, fuck it. You know, when you're making changes in your life, I've found, make all the changes at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not easier to do them sequentially. You might as well just do every change at once. It's my wisdom.
Yeah.
Put that down in a book. Sell it to a child. Watch as they grow. I love making little MP3s. That's all this is. MP3s. MP3s by lamplight.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we were still looking for a name for this podcast, 220 episodes in, maybe that would be up there. But what are you going to do? I don't know if I have any more goddamn topics. I I wrote a bunch of stuff down in my Obsidian note for the Scottcast next episode.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see.
It has been a long time.
It has been a long time. You know, I've got, I don't know, maybe some silly articles around. I have a pet rat now.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh. I call him Rodney. there was this time, like, so, like, I mean, this place is full of vermin. I got to get out of here. I'm going to get out of here probably August. I wish I moved to Capitol Park downtown because they have, like, similar sized studio apartments that, A, were already furnished, so I wouldn't have had to fucking buy a bunch of furniture immediately. That would have been nice. And B, they probably don't have cockroaches and rats.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
That would also be nice.
And C, it's cheaper than this place by a significant margin. And D, it comes with free fiber internet.
That's pretty crazy.
There's a lot of reasons. I should have gone there first.
Well, I mean, the parking probably is going to bring you back about even.
Yeah, it ups you up to $300-$400 a month, yeah. $300-$400 a month to park in one of those if you're living in downtown kind of situations. Fuck, I would have done it. Like now, I would have. Especially because, like, this fucking apartment, I told you about the heating situation, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking A, there must be a hole in the wall. Probably from Rodney. But yeah, I got Rodney the fucking rat. And like the first time I saw him, I just saw him scurrying under some boards and stuff like that. And I decided to give him a name and love him after a while because it's like, hey, he doesn't seem to get into my shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty good after discovering the cockroaches keeping everything in a pretty much sealed container. And Rodney doesn't seem to be interrupting or ripping into anything. Doesn't seem to be elevating himself beyond the floor. So I've given him a little pass, and but he's still a little scared. He doesn't get any respect. That's why I call him Rodney.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah, you know, like there was this one time I was like sitting on the couch here, like fucking lighthousing, right? And I was like just watching House, and you know, probably had a little bit too much, and like I noticed like a little movement in the corner of my eye. And I look down and I see like a little smudge on the floor. And then like I hear the world's smallest panic. and like this thing just bolts across the fucking floor. And like it was Rodney, of course. And like he was breathing so hard. He did not know I was there. I was so like just fucking tanked out watching House, like not moving. He just realized I was there when I turned my head. It was like a fucking T-Rex moment for him, probably some kind of. You know, he won't see if you don't move. Oh my God. That's Rodney. That was one of the updates I had. I don't think you, when's the last time you had a rat in your house?
We had a mouse maybe a year ago. I think it was around springtime. The cats kind of had it trapped under the cat tower.
Okay.
And they were just like, they were all kind of gathered around and like kind of chirping and poking under there. And Bronwyn's like, what's going on? Did you lose a toy? And she kind of lifts it up and it scurried and she screamed and yeah. So we got like the live catch traps things. So they go in and they can't get out, but it doesn't like hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't capture it. We assume it just kind of found its way out.
Ooh, yeah. Found its way out. I love how casual that term is, because I gotta say, like, I've lived with Kyle for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I lived without Kyle, and there is a definite pressure of rats that exists without a cat.
Mm-hmm.
That is far greater than with a cat. You have five cats.
Yeah, no, if there's any kind of rodent, they're going to get got.
Yeah, like,
the,
you know, like,
the outside cats have all left us presents on the porch.
There you go. And you've got, you do have some seasoned outside cats inside now, mm-hmm. too. Yeah, like, they existed for a while for a reason. What was I going to say about it? Do you guys ever, like, wonder why your cats don't eat one of the three meals you give them a day?
Could that be it? They're full of mouse?
Yeah. You know, because, like, I kind of noticed, I think there's probably an element, like, when I watch the cats, like, mm-hmm. they don't seem to eat the three meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder, because, like, when I'm not around, the vermin activity increases.
Yeah.
There's not a big old naked ape lumbering about.
Right.
So a lot more vermin show up. So I wonder if when you guys are on a trip, fucking that's mice like comes crawling come out and party. Then they like, all get eaten. That's why Bale is like, oh, I don't want to come out.
That's a possibility.
It's a possibility, man. You know, there's only one way to find out, I guess. You got to get webcams on their heads. You got to leave the building for 3-4 days in a row.
Yeah.
You know? Look for some kills. Stream it. Man,
oh, yeah. Not at this place, but at my old place on 4th Street. There was definitely like rodents that you could hear in the walls. And that was back in the Hedwig days. Hedwig got one and she left it in my shoe for me. So
Hedwig got four that night. She left one in the shoe being like, look how much better I am.
They like to show you their what they've done.
Yeah, so that's true.
I feel like we would know if that was happening on the regular.
That's true. That's true. That they will do the sacrifices. But, like, I always wonder, though, like, that's because, like, the only time I saw Kyle interact with mice, because he never gave me a present.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I saw him interact was, like, he was in the living room and he was fucking, like, spiking that thing like a football. Like he was in it. And like I showed up and he looked like I caught him watching porn. You know, the fucking mouse got the fuck out of there. And so like I don't think he would have made a tribute to me. You know, maybe that's some human centric thing. Like we think, of course, if they're killing mice, they're gonna give us a piece. No, that's just Hedwig once when she was like, I'm sick of you. Yeah. You know. I gotta believe a healthy cat that sometimes misses a meal. Doesn't miss a meal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it the world's most perfect predator, people say.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are like scientists. And they'll get in doing some science. And they'll talk about biomechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll talk about how cats are basically just fucking these perfectly sized panthers, like to really just fucking do a good amount of damage on an ecosystem and or, you know, survive and be a top cat. You know? My mom's cat is tortoise shell.
Mm-hmm.
And also we suspect Maine Coon.
So it's a big one.
Not necessarily big. Bigger? Well, not necessarily big.
What makes you suspect Maine Coon?
Kyle dwarfs. She's long-haired.
Mm-hmm.
A lot like Jonesy was.
Mm-hmm.
And the ears.
Okay.
The ears were very Maine Coon-like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm clearly there's some mutt involved in this creature. My mom found her like just like abandoned outside. It's 4 o'clock, I bet. No, it's 7 o'clock. Okay, anyway, my lights do things. But she found her outside one winter, you know, like mother never came back around kind of thing. So like the mutt is involved, but she suspects there's Maine Coon. And like with my experience with Jonesy and Hedwig around you guys, I think maybe there's something to it. Not even just looks, but just behavior.
Yeah.
Because she behaves like a little bitch. But she also has this like extroverted personality that's like totally like I'm amazing. Come look at me. You know, which is very Maine Coon. Like there's no scarfing with her. You're not doing that. But you know, she'll be picked up.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And she's not, it's just that like once in a while the tortoise shell attitude, the tortitude comes out.
Yeah.
But like besides that, she's pretty chill, and I think that's the Maine Coon balancing out the tortoise shell. That's my cat thoughts on that aspect. So possibly, there's possibly a spiritual animal that exists that both carries on Jonesy's and Hedwig's legacy, which I would have never thought was possible in one creature.
Yeah,
but it turns out. Let's see. That's the other things on my list. Because like we're at an hour and a half yet. So just making sure. I might start a candle making business called Scotty Candles.
You need to tell me you were making candles.
I've been making candles. And I like the idea of it. It would just be like I would overcharge for candles. All candles are overcharged anyways. Yeah. I would make extra care to overcharge. And like my candles would be based purely on the description, the story that I put behind it. Like this candle was made, and I would spin this elaborate web about why it smells the way it smells or something. Or like the scent I was going for, you know. Like I left a bar one day and there was a copper fixture on the side of the wall, and I put my face up against it and I sniffed it and it was raining, and I wanted to capture that particular combination of mildewed copper in the rain on a spring evening in Detroit. You know, sell that for $40. Call it Scotty Candles. And it would basically be an exercise in me just building an e-commerce site that I host on this here computer chip I have laying on the table right now. Just to say I did it.
Cool.
I don't know. This is just the list of shit I put down. I thought of them as Scott Cast topics. But I don't know. Chocolate milk as a cheat code. You know what chocolate milk's best for? It's really good for this. If you ever need to like get off the booze for like 3 days, like around 5 o'clock, you know, when you usually indulge, and just get like a half a gallon of chocolate milk and just like drink as much of it as you want right away. It'll satisfy all the cravings. You'll be fine all night.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll fill you with milk. I wouldn't want to drink anything else. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, it does that. And also, like, the sugar and chocolate and shit like that give you that little endorphin rush, too.
That's good.
A little bit like you did something naughty.
I think that's in the Tingleverse. That's like the analog. There's no alcohol, but there you can chocolate milk up.
Chuck Tingle's on to something. we agree, and we've covered many times on the show. I feel like Chuck Tingle is a bit of a voice of our generation. Which is why I've given up being the voice of a generation at all. Seeing what I did.
You did. You crazy son of a bitch, you did.
But yeah. All right. That's good for now. I mean, you could also buy that church, by the way, down the street from the sanctuary. I've never seen a church for sale, but it is a church for sale. We could buy. We can make it satanic.
That would be fun.
You know, a satanic church.
Are there? I don't know what the zoning rules are like. I feel like there was something about
zoning against Satan.
I feel like there was something specifically about like that couldn't be a mosque.
Yeah.
Because there's one across the street. I don't know.
There's one church that is for sale. I don't know if it's the same one that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the St. Ladislaus or whatever it was, the one that's on Kniff.
Yeah.
There's that one that's for sale. And there's another one that's for sale on Hamtramck. It's a lot of churches for sale on Hamtramck. Mm-hmm. There's another one for sale. I don't know. Maybe it's the same. But I know the other one that is for sale for sure has stipulations that it can't be used for immoral means, you know, by their definition.
Mm.
Right. So, you know, you go in and you're like, we're going to make a playing card shop. They'll be like, "Oh, that's gambling."
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, we're going to go in and we're going to sell Hanes t-shirts. Well, I guess that's fine. Kind of deal. But then like once you get in, You put the Hanes t-shirts in a bin somewhere and you bring out the poker table.
Right.
Yeah. So that's how we get around that. but we could do that, you know? I'm interested. If anybody listening to this is also interested, send us money. I don't know where to tell you to go. So how do you think? Should we do a how do you learn today?
Sure. Did we learn anything today?
I think we learned some stuff. We learned that Scottcast is officially underground. That's what we learned. That's one big thing we learned.
I guess so, yeah.
You know, Scottcast is underground, and which means if you're listening to this, you're officially listening to about the coolest podcast you could listen to. It's some real fucking pirate cyberpunk bullshit we're throwing your way.
Yeah.
You know? And because this is a professionally, there's probably a good promise that there is no podcast being produced to this level of quality for this level of audience. The ratio has been fucking destroyed. So if you're on this list, man, you're fucking premium, man. You're fucking Veblen as shit. We all know it. We all feel it. So I learned that today. We learned a little bit about some real estate opportunities in Hamtramck.
Man.
Yeah.
Learned about video games. And
we learned about the ponytail. That's a good one.
What did we learn about video games, though? We learned that, that's the prime media. If you want to get into entertainment, get into video games.
Yeah, that's where the money is. That's where Norman Reedus went, and he's mm-hmm. doing fine. He can afford as many sunglasses as he wants. And he will wear them. But that's his own thing. Zombies will be made, and we're going to use it. Like people are going to be like, "Oh, it's produced by Scottcast Productions." What's Scottcast? And then they're going to start listening to the Scott Bradley podcast, Scottcast, and they're going to be like, "This is shit." And then they're going to.
Is that Ronnie?
Yeah, Rodney's in the walls. but they're going to listen to they're going to listen to the shitty Scottcast, and they're going to realize there's a different one, and then they're going to try to seek out this underground podcast, and they're not going to know where to get it. Sweet. And then people like David are going to be culture mongers. Can you believe it? Can you imagine, like fucking Sigourney Weaver calling David, being like, "Where's the Scottcast link?" Threatening him.
It's gonna be like that Do you remember when we watched like those shorts from Cradle of Fear? And there was the guy trying to find the snuff website.
Yeah. It's going to be like that. Yeah. It'll be like looking for a snuff website. It'll get you flagged for all the same things by the FBI, and you will get nothing out of it. You won't even get to see snuff films, which I imagine.
Well, eventually you get to be part of the cast, probably.
Right? This all sounds very ominous now that we've introduced snuff films. You know, but I will say, if you manage to sneak your way onto the RSS feed and like you're finally listening to this podcast, because this one for sure is the first episode that, unless we decide to go public again, has had zero opportunity to get onto the stores, the Spotify's, the Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. Unless, you know, it's an RSS feed. Anybody can download. Well, if you got it, you can download it. So David could pirate us. He could torrent, you know, probably. I'm sure he's kept a copy somewhere of the entire Scott Katz catalog,
mm-hmm.
you know, just in case, because he knows how willy-nilly I am with publishing. But we learned all sorts of things like that today.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to end it with, I've decided. My name is
Scott,
and this has been Scott Cass. Oh boy! Oh geez! No way! I did. No way!
Do we do the standard?
Yeah, we do the exit? Standard. You do it.
Well, thank you from us here at Scott Cass.
The old super colorful original telecommunicated transmission, otherwise known as Scott Cass.
We bid thee adieu.
We bid thee adieu. See you later, Scott Castigators.
All hail Scottcast.
Glory be to Scottcast. That was close. We almost completely forgot the show. You know? We would have had to completely...
It has been some time.
It has been a significant time. We're back.